no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, man. Back in your groove.
You're in it, buddy.
Covered with street water.
That's the best
immediately.
Kind.
Like, it's just a wave of it. Nobody gives a fuck.
No, they laugh at you when you get splashed with street water in New York. It's pouring rain out there. That's part of the fun.
It is. I do feel like I'm a part of the game again.
Honestly,
you
though,
dude. You know
what
makes me want to do?
What's
go
that?
Go get a crossbow.
Really?
Yeah, and start showing people that I, too, can play the game, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Game that blasts for keeps.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I don't think they allow crossbows in New York City, though, unfortunately.
It is very scary. It's a chaotic city.
It is a crazy place.
I mean, if you type in to Google crossbow, it auto-fills to crossbow legal in NYC.
See?
And what's the answer?
Let's see.
Before we start this show, we need this answer.
The law allowing crossbow use across the state is not perfect.
Ah, what? Not a perfect law.
It's not allowed everywhere. That's what's not perfect about it is that I can't take a crossbow and bring it into a bank. I take a crossbow and bring it to a church.
You should be able to.
Crossbows cannot be used to hunt anything, big game or small, in Nassau, Suffolk, or Westchester counties.
What about equalizing the population? Does it say about that?
Or anything about that?
Yeah, but the class warfare. Can I participate in class warfare using a crossbow? Bow in New York City proper.
Not if you're 500 feet near a school.
Okay, good to know. That's actually reasonable.
And technically, everywhere you see a child on the street here in New York City, that's a school of hard knocks.
There it is.
You also cannot discharge a bow or crossbow so that the load or arrow passes over any part of a public highway.
What are they doing? Are they using Dookie for their crossbow weapon? What for their ammo?
Yeah.
I'm gonna load up this crossbow.
No, it's a bolt.
Oh, really? Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? This is the last podcast on the left, and we are doing. We are putting on our Old Navy pants. And what are Old Navy pants?
Relax.
Always relaxed.
I feel like I'm inside of Chris Christie's fanny pack.
Ooh,
right now.
I know.
I'm so relaxed.
It is so relaxing. And I do have to say, have you had the Old Navy pants?
For about 2 weeks until they finally fall apart.
No, they don't. Oh, they last longer. Feel this. Feel that stretch. No, pull it. No, pull it.
It's like skin.
Skin.
Yeah. But that's not how jeans is supposed to feel.
It's not jeans. I'm like Sharon Tate. I'm wearing tight pants.
Are you still buying pants at Old Navy?
Yeah, I have to. They're the only ones that fit me. I'm a 38-36 still at Old Navy, okay? Every other pant,
so
I am a 44.
The
but at Old Navy, yes, because they make them for big people who want to live a lie. And that is what I'm doing.
You're like Sharon Tate in the fact that you have something inside you that it's about to be incised by a bunch of hippies?
No, I don't. Honestly, I do have to go back to the doctor. And you know these crazy doctors nowadays with all of their bizarre hippie thoughts. You never know.
Was this about your gout?
No.
You told me yesterday that you're trying to spread your gout so it's more legit.
I did not.
You said, that. I want to get my gout to be bigger so that I really have gout.
Your gout to be bigger?
No, I don't want my gout to be bigger. I say, gout, get out, 2019. But what I did say
just
was...
just yelling at your foot doesn't fix it. You need to stop drinking BLs until you fall asleep every night.
Yeah, I know.
And also, once it's there, it doesn't go away.
I understand the lies. Yes, I know. But what I said was, ooh, I should go have some lobster because Henry said he ate at Greenpoint Lobster and Fish Company.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's great. Sounded very good, yes. So we can say, go there if you're in Greenpoint, check out the lobster, support the small businesses around Greenpoint, but I said I want to get the lobster gout, not just the Bud Light gout, so I don't feel like a peasant. I feel like a king, but also like a peasant.
Eat more shellfish and hopefully it grows in the other foot.
Yeah, then I can equalize it and then I can have no comfort whatsoever in my life.
Yeah, that's what you want. It keeps you on edge. It's a New York groove, baby. It's always being upset. It's kind of fun. It kind of, makes you feel like a soldier, except we're not in a war, but it feels like I'm in.
It is. I mean, honestly, it is just New York. That is why when Henry came in, he's had a rough day, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what he's used to. Oh, I'm in LA.
Yes.
Oh, it's sunny. No, it's so nice.
What it is?
Oh, I'm
Henry in L.A.
It really is the truth that there's just no weather in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing changes. Los Angeles is exactly the same every day, except for fire and the ground shaking uncontrollably. So that's it. So it's just existential threats.
Yeah, just massive, massive threats to your entire livelihood.
So today on a relaxing episode, sometimes we like to come in with things we like to talk about. I know that Marcus has some interesting information basically around the same generation as Bell Gunness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So excited that we got through the Bell Gunness series. Fucking love that big old woman.
And what a great response. Honestly, thank you all so much for loving that series. Some kick-ass fan art was also made. Bell Gunness, it reminds me of when people, because I was always asked, because my body is I was 400 pounds, then I shrunk down a little bit, now I'm like, I have a unique body. So everyone,
yeah, we all have unique
bodies. Have unique, well, Marcus has a good, he's a toffee.
He's a toffee.
But you can't sculpt the inside of a body. You got to sculpt the outside.
But on the other hand, I also have the overly large hands and feet, which makes me look weird overall.
Yeah, you have big hands, you have big feet, you have ghoul's eyes, you have crispy hair, but in a normal, technically, body. But it's the outside. If I were to draw a line of what your body looked like, it would look like if Goofy had committed suicide, and that was like the way they discovered it. That's what forensics are.
Goofy committing suicide would be so sad. But anyway, I was always approached by people who were in like sculpting classes, right? Like art classes.
You got this too?
Yes, because they want unique bodies.
I know how many
so
times.
They, and
I remember
the thing
being
is,
super fat and going into a life drawing class, and they're like, oh, we're so excited. Look at all the shading we get to do today. Talking about all the folds and how interesting it was to the pen.
You guys must sculpt you. I must draw you.
I swear to God, the sculptors and the drawers, they would look at people like Henry and I as if we were prime tenderloin. And they were like, I need to get that. It was like we were tens. We were like Bo Derek tens to those people. But then in reality, you also realize when you do show up to those, and I only went once, but I did not get naked. But they also have people with really good bodies too.
They do. And you're like,
they're like, and now for the sideshow portion of our class.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so I'm the B team, where so everybody can get used to drawing what it looks like when a man who's lost 100 pounds, whose pube area that has now turned into sort of like a meat curtain over it, only making his Scottish penis look less impressive.
Right.
You want to make sure you can really draw every curly on that.
Absolutely. And the clay companies, it's about big clay, because they want you to use more, and they see people like us, and they're like, that's going to be a double clay day in that art class. We're making money on top of money.
And I understand, because again, we need to be supported, because you know what we do? We buy the sneakers. We talk about having weird bodies.
Gotta
have sneakers.
Sneakers
is the only way to have a fashion sense in your life.
Absolutely.
Right? So we are driving that industry. We are driving, it's never athletes. It's people who sit. They get the good sneakers.
Yeah.
Because you can't wear them in New York.
No.
You get covered with gunk.
You do.
I try to keep my shit clean. Mm-hmm. Right? And then also, you just can't. It's just they want it because we're the consumers. So they want to support us.
Yeah. So anyway, why did we start talking about that? Bell Gunness.
Yeah.
And Bell Gunness, she was the artwork that has come out from our amazing listeners has been absolutely kick ass.
Well, I've had some people bring up the fact that they wish that they had more details on the actual murders. And I wish we had them too.
Yeah. I wish we had more details on the actual murders. But the thing is about murder details, where that always comes from, is from the killers themselves. You
right.
only get, and we talk about this a lot in the book, actually, is that we talk about how when you get the murder, when you get the details from the murderers, you are automatically relying on the least reliable, believable person in the room.
Yes, exactly. And you're helping create this person's myth.
Yeah,
you're helping create the idea of this person's legacy in the world of true crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, but of course, you also get some information when you walk into a Milwaukee apartment, for example, and you see an ashtray made out of a human skull. I think that does lead to some like investigative minds be like, they must have sawed that skull in half, huh? Probably.
Do you notice that like people's apartment smells?
Of course.
Everyone's apartment has a smell.
Everybody has a smell, and some are worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
Where like our buddy that's about to have, one of our friends was describing that there was a flood in their apartment complex.
Ooh.
And he had to go into somebody else's apartment because he was on the board, and he was like, the musk of human particles from there, because that's really all you're smelling. You're smelling a melange of particles from every part of that stranger's body that is now physically entering your nose
technically,
and sticking to the insides of it, your membranes.
Uh-huh. That's how you fall in love. That is it. I mean, that was the great thing. Kevin Barnett, Bird Luger, go and listen to old Roundtable of Gentlemen episodes to hear his brilliant voice. But that's what he had that great joke about farting in that kid's face. And just because he was a science guy. He was big.
Yes.
And so he knew all of it. So if you would fart around KB, he knew he was sniffing shit. See, I don't really think about it. I'm like, whatever. Yeah. You know, I try
you
to like,
can't.
You can't think about it. Mm-hmm. But it really affected him negatively.
Yeah, it really did.
And I'm not saying I love it. I'm just saying I try not to think that it's actually small particles of Duke.
But you not saying you love it.
I don't love it.
Well, what were you saying about, like, you know, finding the skulls in Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment? Like, sometimes you can recreate a crime through, if you find the body where, essentially if the killer leaves the body where they killed them, then you can recreate the crime that way. Like, that's how we were able to recreate, like, the Richard Chase murders.
And Catherine Knight is a very specific example of they literally saw the blood trail from one part of the house to the next and saw the blood pool of where the guy was. They could piece it all together and then had his skin up on the wall.
That's
so they could actually see exactly what happened, which is just more Catherine Knight being really helpful to the police.
Is that what that was for?
I think that was for us, what she did. But I actually now I've kind of, since doing Belle Gunness, finishing it and deeper into the research about her, I do actually believe she would have torn Catherine Knight apart.
Yeah. Deeper.
No, she would have taken Catherine Knight. And speaking of Catherine Knight, actually, I have to give a quick thank you to a listener who made my dreams come true.
Made his dreams come true.
A listener named Emma McBride from Mitchelton, Queensland, Australia.
Okay, so that's the connection, right? With Emma and Catherine Knight, because you just said, speaking of Catherine Knight, here's another woman from Australia.
Nope, she sent me 4 cans of Solo.
Woo! Congrats.
Original lemon. She sent me some Tim Tams and some Arnott's Kingston, which is my favorite Australian biscuit.
He was almost out of sugar.
He was.
And I'm so glad you sent it to him because it's helping him.
I have actually been very good about meeting out my sugar usage at home since coming back from Australia and since bringing pretty much an entire suitcase's worth of Australian candy.
You're doing better even though all the candy is in the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want you to be healthy.
Oh, I'm
healthy and happy.
I'm a healthy boy.
Yes.
Look at this.
You look great.
When I walked in here today, you guys, I know the first thought on your mind was he is healthy both physically and mentally.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's
naturally
doing great. You just looked at me. You're like, he is doing fantastic.
Captain of the ship. I love seeing him steered into the waves.
Absolutely.
Definitely did not get like the hushed voice. You doing okay, buddy?
Buddy. Doing fine. That's a way to know you're doing fine. Yeah. So your friend's going, You doing okay, buddy?
But it's not like you. It's more like you're doing okay.
That's just you yelling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
I want to talk about, so I had got this sent to me a little bit while ago. And every once in a while, which I love, like, because we don't really have a lot of time, like, to cover, like, small stories in true crime history that have been around for either a couple of years, a couple of decades, especially new shit, where it's like, we like to do bigger stories for our last podcast. And so every once in a while I'll get a story that's sent, and it's like, and it's 4 side stories or now our Relax Fit episodes that are just fucking compelling.
Okay.
And one was the story of a man named Joe Palsinski, or Palsinski, who is from the Baltimore area. And there's been a lot of talk about Baltimore in the news recently.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because Baltimore's a beautiful city.
It is. It's Charm City, baby. Yeah.
It's a beautiful city filled with warm people, a lot of spirit there.
Baltimore is where we started off our live shows. Very first place we did a live show outside of New York City was in Baltimore. Baltimore holds a very special place.
We love the people of Baltimore. Wish everybody the best. Stay safe.
It is a complicated city.
It is very complicated.
And there seems to be a lot of conflict within the city.
Literally, The Wire was just based off of Baltimore.
Yes.
That is it. Like, that's how complicated it is.
And the story of Joe Palsinski is the story of a spree killer in the suburbs of Baltimore who in March 2000 killed 4 people and held a family of 3 as hostages in nearly a 4-day standoff.
Oh my God.
One of the longest known conducted by one man. Essentially, Joe Palsinski had a falling out with his nearly 20-year younger than him girlfriend, Tracy Whitehead. She was 22 and he was 47, 25 years.
Why would she leave him?
I don't know.
I mean, he's peak 47-year-old man meat.
So this is the way the story kind of turns into something more irregular is that, so Joe was mad that Tracy left him. Tracy left the house where they mutually lived together to go to her sort of, basically her, not her godparents, but sort of like guardians that were just not her parents, like older people that she was super close with.
I'm just going to say she's 22. She could go to college, you know.
She could, but you know what? Some people are not academically or set for college or financially set
That's
for college.
That's true, and not everyone has to go to college.
Go to a vocational school.
Do whatever you want to do.
So she arrived at the home of George and Gloria Schenck on March 7th, 2000. And Palsinski decided that he would have an, basically what you didn't know up to this point is that they just thought Palsinski was her sort of troubled boyfriend, right? He had spent some time in an insane asylum. He was medicated for bipolar disorder. And he had actually already had done one instance of armed hostage taking on in his life.
Well, those are massive red flags.
No. He's changing. He's growing.
Is it still a boyfriend when they're 47? That's a man friend. That's what I would call it.
I think it's a father substitute. And so he went... And so basically, you know, so Palsinski was a bad dude, but not bad dude, fucked up. Just fucked up guy, made a lot of questionable decisions. Tracy decided that she wanted to leave him, which is now what we now know about an abusive relationship. The most dangerous time for an abusive relationship is trying to get out.
Absolutely.
Like, something, I think that the odds are something like 60%. Like, that's when, if murders are going to happen, they happen in that time period of you leaving the house.
This is why you got to have a friend that you can trust who has what? A crossbow. Make sure they have a crossbow and just be
silent
ready to go.
Silent killer, too, because you don't have to, like, because the latch is...
Yep.
The pulling little string is very quiet, but especially if you can do it fast.
Absolutely.
So he showed up saying, hey, Tracy, we're getting out of here. Those are his exact words. And he killed the entire family.
Jeez.
He killed the two fathers, but he left their 12-year-old son. He then takes her to a second location where takes her to a hotel where she's the, according to witnesses, they say that she is acting like they are, she's supposed to be with him. She's acting like kind of fun and like they're having a good time, like they're on a little vacation.
Oh my.
But as soon as she's able to disappear, she disappears, right? So she escapes.
So she's like, I'm going to go get some ice.
Basically,
and then just like,
dips
fucking out.
Books it. Palsinski goes completely insane. He is now on the run. He murders somebody in a carjacking.
Jeez.
Basically, yada, yada, yada. It ends up with Palsinski in the Tracy's parents' home with her mom, her mom's boyfriend, and their 12-year-old son, so Tracy's brother.
Oh my.
And he holds them up for 4 days inside of this home. Now, the reason why this is really interesting is that on the internet, they have 3 hours of the standoff of just the newscast from local news in Baltimore.
They're outside of the house, just reporting live from the scene.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it's a time machine into 2000, right? It goes back. And this is why, the only reason why I'm talking about this is that y'all should go and watch this on YouTube. Like, fucking Spark a J, get a couple of, like, it's
weird.
Having it play in the background of my own apartment, like listening to it happening like it's happening live, like kind of walking
in and out. Oh my
god,
well these, I mean live television, like live news broadcasts, they have been fascinating us forever. I mean OJ, of course, when the white Bronco chase, pizza sales, it was the best thing that ever happened to Domino's and Pizza Hut. They skyrocketed. And of course in LA, in your neck of the woods, car chases. I love Michelle Beadle. She's an ESPN commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's a car chase, she does an Insta story about it. Endlessly exciting
also,
because what's going
to
happen?
Thanks to the Citizen app, this is a notification
I got
this morning from my own neighborhood. Man in rainbow shorts wielding switchblade exposing self.
Well, good to know. Not going to go outside.
Thank you. Oh, is that the Ralph's? All good. Oh, that's fun. But the reason why... So what we're going to find out is you watch it unfold. It's absolutely incredible. If you have the time and if you like that sort of like the feeling like you're in the moment, like old school true crime kind of storyline, you're a part of the storyline. It's so fun to watch.
Do they cut to Nancy Grace at any point
this is
pre-HLN Nancy Grace. Oh, my.
When we did the 9/11 episodes way back when, like I watched something like I think it was somewhere on like 8 to 10 hours of just local news footage from 9/11, like local New York news, local New York news stations. That stuff is fascinating to watch.
Yes, because you get the old commercials, which is
honestly,
fun.
I love it.
They did not take commercial breaks during 9/11.
Oh, and how are we going to sell? How are we going to get batteries?
But strangely enough,
what's 1-800-COLLECT gonna do?
I am sure that pizza sales skyrocketed, though. I'm sure.
During 9/11?
Sadness.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Not in New York.
No, not in New York. Good Lord. No, in New York, they interviewed Donald Trump, and now when he was bragging about having the tallest building in New York, mm-hmm. even though that was also a lie, he still didn't have the tallest building in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get his. But this story is very, very interesting to see. And do you want me to even tell you the end? Because the ending is fascinating.
Know. Yeah, I
want to
know, because I was looking a little bit at this guy's bio. His nickname was Joby.
Joby.
And his occupation was both electrician and bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. He was an amateur bodybuilder.
So he was making money at one of those things, yes. And then he was also a bodybuilder.
And the other one, he was spending money, because you had to get all the pills, you got to go, you have to all the memberships, you know, it takes a lot. And it's all the food, all the protein.
So this guy is also just jacked up on creatine the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
Do they know anything, do they know anything about that? Was he taking, I mean, I'm not saying that all bodybuilders take steroids, but I will say that bodybuilders are more likely to take steroids.
He was completely clean. That was kind of the problem. What they said is that he went off meds.
Okay.
And as soon as he went off meds, he was completely unstable.
Very dangerous.
Which is unfortunate, because he was kind of he was a victim, but also he was an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all
you
of that.
As Marcus always says, what is that, Marcus? You always say it's your responsibility.
Oh, yeah, mental health is not your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
And so the ending was that, so they did this for 4 days straight.
Jeez.
He stayed up for 4 days with them at gunpoint, two old people and a little kid.
So
and
that,
they cut down the whole. If you watch Baltimore get more and more upset, because they evacuated the entire neighborhood.
Right.
They evacuated the entire neighborhood to put people into the elementary school where they're all just living in there like it's a fucking hurricane.
Oh my God.
They shot two dogs of people's dogs in their homes. Just shot the dogs because they started freaking out at the cops coming in the house.
Dude, well, I learned a little bit about why dogs often get shot. I was talking to my buddy who's a firefighter.
Because they're squealers.
Well, what he said was, if you hear, if you're knocking on a door and you hear a dog that might be a pit bull, for example, sounding like a goose, like honking, like, I don't know how a goose honks.
When do dogs sound like that?
When they cut their cords, when they cut their what do you call them?
Vocal cords.
Because they do that, so then you can't hear them coming. And they say if you hear that, you can't open the door. You got to call the police right away. And most likely they just pop a bullet in the dog's head because that dog is just trained to straight up like fuck you up.
Yeah, they assume the dog is trained to kill because they
tend to be in that situation because there's no other reason to cut the vocal cords out of a dog.
Yeah,
but maybe you just like the idea of making it like a little Marley Matlin, like a cute little being like,
Marley
I'll
Matlin.
Teach it to overcome its obstacles.
No, it's sad. The pit bulls are very smart.
Yeah.
And because of that, they can be used for bad.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Now I'm sad. Now I'm actually visually sad. I didn't know that in any of that.
Yeah.
But the way it ends was that they finally, they had built a rapport with him. Because now at this point, everybody, like, you should watch again, like, watch the footage. So you could see they go to various family members of both Tracy and Joby and ask him, like, it's people pleading me and like, you gotta let him out, Joe. You gotta let him out. This is bad. Like, I do like the concept.
They're not Canadian.
I don't know.
They're called Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. Balmer. Balmer.
Balmer.
Balmer.
Yeah.
Did they call, like, Martin O'Malley to come and play some acoustic guitar for him?
It was like that. It was like all of these people called up and it was just like, it's like, my name is Reginald Fremington. I am in charge of the milk depository, and I do all the distribution of milk. And I'll tell you what, if I can help, I'll help. I'll send milk. Like, everybody was calling things. You'd be like, we've got pizzas outside if they're hungry, but he wouldn't let the pizzas come in. And
just
so
one dude is setting up gym equipment. Just be like, come on out. Come on out. Do some lifts. You want to do some squats?
He's just like getting people signed up for memberships for his local like metalhead gym. And so, well, basically, they were getting tired. And finally, he allowed one of them to go get him a glass of water. They said, do you want me to go get you a glass of water? He said, yes. They went. They put Xanax in the water.
Wow.
He drank it. He fell asleep. Right, he fell asleep with the gun still in his hands, and then the old people just left and left the 12-year-old behind.
What? What did the 12-year-old
do? Their reasoning was,
tell me this 12-year-old wasn't like problem child, where he had a connection with the guy, and he's just like wearing a bow tie.
Can I hold the gun? Look, Grandpa, I can fucking kill you now. But they tried to say afterwards it was actually very controversial. Because they had left the kid behind.
Yeah, and
they
were like, the kid, the guy's sleeping.
They said, we saved ourselves so that we could save the kid.
No, you left the kid.
But why didn't they take the kid with them?
Well, we learned from Bonnie and Clyde.
What?
You go. Those who can go, go. So that they could come back and save whoever's left.
This old couple wasn't about to explore the world in a crime spree that would be notorious throughout time.
They just left. Always make another kid. You can't. It takes years to make another adult.
Well, what happened to the 12-year-old?
Fine. I imagine. I don't know if they're dead now, but they seem to be alive.
Okay. So
I don't know anything current.
But this 12-year-old is in therapy because... First of all, the standoff, and then second of all, the abandonment issues that must come when you know your caretakers would not protect you in the case of a home invasion.
I think it teaches you a proper amount of distrust of authority.
Oh, well, that's a very interesting story.
No, not everyone ended up fine. Joby ended up being shot by police officers 27 times.
Yeah, well, you know, the 26th didn't kill him, so you got to get the 27th in there.
That's what, so basically, they then stormed... He woke up like,
some strong water.
And they all were like, so all 20 cops were like, he's reaching for the gun. Get him. So they all just bam, 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 bam.
They're killing him like they tried to, like they shot Nordberg in Naked Gun.
Yes.
They just like went in on him.
Well, pretty much how it ended. The grandparents say the reason why they didn't take the child was because the child was sleeping. Mm. And they were afraid that if they woke up the child would be upset and wake up Joby and nobody would get away. So they left.
Yep. Wait, what? What kind of, is this like, is he like, sleeping. What is it like?
He went to go like take me like, oh, should we get him away from the armed hostage taker? No. Oh, he's sleeping like an angel.
But how does he wake up? Does he wake up like, whoa? Like, how does he wake up? Wouldn't the kid just be... Also, how did... This kid, nerves of steel, just be like, I'm going to go catch a nap. What day are we at here with this home invasion? Day 3, I'm going to go catch a snooze real quick.
Things become... The human being is an amazingly adaptable primate. We can figure out how to make things normal. We can sleep anywhere.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. I can't. I can't sleep in a fucking hotel room that's perfectly comfortable.
Well, you have a problem.
I have deep, deep, incredible, horrible insomnia.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, after the parents got out, that's when they got out and they were like, he's sleeping. Just go in and shoot him. Just go in and kill him. Oh, and so God. They get one in.
What's that, ma'am? You said he's sleeping. You want to go in there and shoot him. Is that right, ma'am?
I think someone's finally coming to get me.
And then they went outside, told the cops, yeah, he's inside. And apparently he was sleeping on a pile of weapons, but did not have a weapon in hand when the cops went in for the final siege.
So he just pooled together all his semi-automatics and was like, oh, this is a nice pillow. Wow.
They said he sat up and reached for a weapon, and then when he reached for a weapon, they said that's when he got fucking ventilated.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of people have different Tempur-Pedic like numbers.
Sure.
Mine is always at Charlton Heston's number, which is like, I can only sleep on a pile of automatic weapons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's an interesting story.
Yeah, and the guy that slipped him the Xanax attempted to later claim the $10,000 reward for his apprehension.
Honestly, mm-hmm. He deserves it.
No, but they didn't give it to him.
Why not?
Because the cops felt they got him.
No,
so
but
they
the
gave
Xanax
the reward
got him.
To themselves.
They got him on a technicality because they said the reason why they didn't give him the $10,000 is because he called 911 instead of calling Metro Crime Stoppers.
See?
Get out of here. That is some petty dog shit, dude.
There was a lot of
10K, I'm just going to say. That's not even enough.
No, because that's a 100K
crime.
It's 6.
Oh my God. Yeah, easy.
It is. The story also just reveals a lot of also inherent corruption in Baltimore as well. It's just fun to see when you watch the actual coverage and all of the personalities of this neighborhood,
right,
of Baltimore speaking. The heart of Baltimore out in one big swath. And it's very, very fun. Where it's been like people's going like, I tell you why I wouldn't understand is why he's not using some kind. He needs a bigger gauge gun. If you're going to use it to kill a whole family, you can line them all up. And like from head to head to head, if you get a big enough bullet, you can just kill them all with one bullet. What?
So he could actually be watching this. This is live television.
Yeah,
this is
what you're going to do, you're going to line them up ear to ear, ear to ear, right? And then you put the gun up against the first one's ear, and then you can kill all of them in one go, Joby.
Well, turns out we shouldn't have gone to the federal prison to interview people on what they think about what's going
on. This is my home.
Okay. Very interesting.
So go watch it. It's I don't know. I don't know why it's so interesting to me.
Well, I mean, it's like, kids, you can imagine being there. When I was growing up, we had one incident where they were partying at this house. It was a little cul-de-sac, maybe about a half a block away from my house. And somebody had took out their gun, accidentally shot one of their friends. Standoff occurs. 6 hours later, this guy attempts to commit suicide. Doesn't do it quite right. Blows off his face. He's now blind and can't speak. He's in prison for life.
But he regrets that.
He regrets a lot of things. And poor guy, because we were actually friends with his younger sister. And it's like, just really sad. But they evacuated everybody. So we had to go to my grandma's house. And we watched it live on Stevens Point Local News. And it was like really one of the more captivating television moments I can remember.
The reporters were so excited.
Yeah.
Because the whole time they're like, we will show, we're obviously giving you up to the minute. Every second we have new information, we'll let you know. But also, the cops are using us to communicate with the suspect.
Right.
So see that we are an important part of this process.
Well, that's a good question. When do you think it becomes predatory, exploitative, when it comes to covering crimes, right? Because local news and national news, they don't seem to have much tact or like any kind of understanding that like real lives have just been lost.
Nothing has the petty shallowness of now. Back in the day, it just doesn't. So now it's like, even if it was exploitive then, now it's actually fairly tasteful.
I mean, I think even remember the way they covered Columbine. Just the way they were like zoom in on the kids, jumping out of the windows, interviewing every. I mean, that's why we got all this misinformation about Eric and Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is kind of a bizarre gray area, but it's just sad. I mean, I guess they're just chasing the viewers. So,
well, it's not like it's always. It is definitely not a new thing as far as the press being callous about this shit and doing anything for the story.
Right.
Like, I remember.
Going back to Bonnie and Clyde, the way they covered that too.
Yeah, the way they covered that. And I remember something from the Son of Sam episodes that we talked about. There was a guy that was working for Rupert Murdoch, working for the Post, and Rupert Murdoch told him, get the story no matter what. Told his reporter, like, get the story, get the angle that nobody else has. So what this reporter did, this was 1977 New York, he posed as a grief counselor called up the family of one of the victims and pumped him for information.
That's dirty.
How you get the story.
Oh, that's dirty, though.
It's one of the dirtiest, slimiest things I've ever heard a journalist do. But they've always been awful.
Murdoch owns The Sun, too, right? They had that big controversy where they were posing as all these different
people. Do you remember when they hacked in the phones?
Yeah. They hacked all the phones.
Yeah, the phone hacking. And, you know, and going back to Bell Gunness for a second, you know, that was one thing that we didn't really cover a ton in the episode, but Harold Schechter covers it at length in the book, is how the press approached the Bell Gunness story and how they would print whatever lie they wanted to print. They printed, I mean, this was during the time of yellow journalism, so it's like, just say it and we'll figure it out later.
Right.
And what they would do is, you know, you want to talk about like callous, they would attach Bell Gunness to any story that even tangentially had something to do with it.
Right.
So people would see the name Bell Gunness and buy the paper. I remember there was one story, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a story about a dog that had dug up like a bunch of, like a dog that had gotten in trouble for digging up a neighbor's garden. And there was a conflict between the two neighbors. And so they called it the Doggy Gunness. Gunness to this, like just dog going,
fun.
But that's what they, I mean, but journalism used to be so much worse.
Was it? Are you sure? Do you really think it was worse?
They used to straight lie.
Absolutely. I mean,
but now, when I say journalism, though, I'm talking the whole scope of the fake information we have now.
Absolutely. We are
actually, we have InfoWars right now.
Dude, it used to be worse.
Than InfoWars?
It used to be so much. Like, it used to be straight up lies at every point.
Well,
like, what we're going through now, it's like, it's nothing new at all, and it's actually better than it used to be, because it used to be like, you get a newspaper that has what you think is the facts, that you think, like, this, it is in print, it's that, was it Mr. Show joke, the, like, I've seen something in print, it has to be true.
Yes.
Right, of course.
It's that kind of mentality, but these newspapermen, like, just, and they took advantage of that, and so they would print these outrageous stories just to sell newspapers.
Gotta sell copy.
And now we have the internet. So if you do understand, you're responsible for your own education in this country right now. So you have to try to look at various stories and then see where the agendas lie and what are they trying to sell to you? What is the angle that they're covering? Can you then go and do your own independent research to make sure you cover the other side as well?
Also, the problem with that is we have to rely on the minds of human beings, and oftentimes they're not necessarily strong when it comes to critical thinking. So you'll have someone that I guarantee you has had this conversation with a friend, and they said, well, you know, it's really interesting, Steve. If the Earth is hollow, how could it be flat? You know, like, I mean, how is that? So we're looking at the evidence here, right?
That is critical thinking.
That's critical thinking. So, because I agree, it's flat, but I also think it's like, so it's like a thin crust? Like,
yeah, so this is like a pita? That's what we're on?
Yeah, the Earth is a big pita bread. That's how Shambhala and flat earthers come together.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Cool. So we're just like,
because it's still a big pita.
Whoa. It's a big pita.
It's Hot Pocket Earth.
Does that mean that we're like the cheese?
I hate you, sir.
What?
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
Oh, another cool thing about Balgunas, we actually got an email from a listener named Aaron, who works as a research genealogist out at Ellis Island, and she actually found that Balgunas did come to America through New York City.
Oh, cool.
Whoa. Yeah. She's just like Eddie Murphy.
Just like Eddie Murphy.
Or Van Halen, Queens. They found that she came in under the name Brynhilde Palsdottir in 1879.
Wow, but then didn't this turn out that this is like a whole year before that they believe that she originally landed in America?
Well, it is a year or two before she said on her official census records later that she came into America. So she had lied to everyone about when she came into America. Or it could be one of two things. It could be either that she lied about when she came into America, and if that's the case, then that means that Balgunas was fucking around America or New York City, and nobody has any idea what she was doing.
Just her and Albert, or is it Albert Fish?
Albert Fish.
Yeah, it's just her and Albert Fish just talking about what they ate for dinner.
I think they were separated by about 50 years.
Her and Albert Fish?
Right.
They were separated by about 50 years. Somewhere around there, yeah. Because Albert Fish was the 20s, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But Balgunas just out there. Maybe she met like a suitor, like an businessman, but he originally hires her to just appear on his arm as arm candy so that he wouldn't be alone at this dinner party that he didn't even want to go to, because maybe he's getting jaded with the way business is going. But then he saw that sparkle in her eye and her tiny feet and how jowly she was, and he fell in love.
Yeah. I don't know if it could be called arm candy if Balgunas is your girl. Maybe it's more like arm pork chop.
Yeah. Ooh, I want an arm pork chop.
Honestly, I would love an arm pork chop.
Some arm licorice, right?
Mm. Yeah. Licorice.
Or it could be that, you know, she was lying about when she came in, so she didn't, because she didn't want anyone to know what she was doing in that year. It could also be that she just didn't really know what year it was.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, is that possible?
Yeah, she was having a gap year.
Yeah.
But a real gap year, when you actually don't know what the year is.
Yeah, not like, it's my 39th birthday for the 10th year in a row.
That's the O.J. Simpson joke that he did on Twitter.
I know.
You are the Carlos Mencia of this podcast. You stole a joke from O.J. Simpson.
Do you think that O.J. created that joke? You think that O.J. Simpson started that?
I'm not going to tell him to his face.
Give me the joke again. It's my... O.J. Simpson celebrated a birthday, and he made a video on Twitter.
He said he was celebrating his 39th birthday.
Uh-huh. Yes, and then he laughed to himself, and then...
His caddy laughed.
It's weird. Can you imagine being
Because his caddy was scared.
Yeah, everyone is scared, but he is just out there on Twitter. And we've talked about this before. If your significant other follows OJ on Twitter, I don't know. I'm just going to say, whoop, red flag is up.
It is. That just sounded like you fucking got an erection.
No, that's a red flag.
Now, I remember my mom used to have a nice little fridge magnet that said 39 and holding.
I didn't pack and heat, though, just like 2 6 shooters.
Sounds like a bunch of weed.
Ooh, yeah.
I knew a lot of 39 and holdings. That's how I first started like even seeing what weed was. It was my Aunt Juliet.
Really?
Aunt Juliet smoked a lot of weed?
Oh, yeah. She gave weed to the family.
That's great. Good for her.
But my father wouldn't know because my father thought weed made you gay.
Typical New York City police officer.
Yeah. He didn't understand. It did the opposite for me. It just made me hornier for women.
Did he ever explain his logic on that?
He's Same a thing. New he York also, City police officer.
He also felt it made you not manly to brush your teeth. He was one of those guys.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's something that happens in a submarine. Something happens inside of the tube of a submarine that changes the way those brave small men think.
Those men, and this is not bad, they were actively cornholing each other, and they were just demeaning.
Oh, no sex.
You don't think they had sex with each other?
No, my father, the way my dad said, I don't know about his Navy experiments. It sounds like they just got really, really drunk, but I don't think he never talked about...
Interesting. I mean, because Dahmer was
been
sober.
Really drunk. You and I have gotten drunk.
Yes.
How many fucking times sex
Honestly,
with each other? And you have never tried to suck my dick except that one time, and it was different because you were like, I want to see if you blow up like a tire, if I could just blow up.
Honestly, don't even joke about it. No, but submarines, of course, they were full of wild activities going on, without a doubt.
Nothing makes me less attracted to you than the way you are when you're drunk.
You are your mother. You're your mother. Unbelievable. I couldn't fit on a submarine, so my people, the Kissel family, are innocent of all submarine accusations.
Yeah, we're a little bit too large for submarines as well. The
yeah, honestly, I think you're the Zabrowskis are the only ones that could fit on a sub.
We're mariners.
Yeah, you guys are mariners.
I'm a Navy man. I would have been.
You would be.
But I am not good at anything, nor am I brave.
Right, that's the problem.
Yeah, I became a performer.
Absolutely.
Also, speaking of Belle Gunness, there was something actually that I picked up at Comic-Con over Ooh. In San Diego. Thank you, everybody who came out to our San Diego shows, came out to our Comic-Con shows, came out to see Ben just absolutely destroy Henry in the fish taco eating contest.
I have esophageal scarring.
Apparently you do.
But
maybe
you are always
going to
win.
No, but maybe you shouldn't have challenged me.
I never
to a eating competition.
Legitimately,
if you have
I was just
esophageal scarring.
Well, the problem was that I couldn't just set it up, so was it just us watching you eat? But that's really what I wanted to do.
I didn't want to do it in the first place.
So I had to trick you in a way. What I was hoping is that you would get. I wanted to just see how many you could put
you
in.
You wanted me to be the fat guy from Stand By Me.
I wanted to
see. Just, I'm trying to lose weight.
Think about this. Think about me as your manager.
No, I am. Yeah.
Think about me
as your
manager.
Is this going to make it better or worse?
No, it's not pimping you out, but know that there's other avenues for money. You're leaving money on the table. If we could get that gullet wider, yours, with training, we could put you on the road, and I bet you, not only could you beat Kobayashi,
you
could also physically beat Kobayashi.
No way on both counts. He's jacked.
That's the funny thing about the fish taco eating contest, which, you know, for those of you who don't watch the stream, we had a fish taco eating contest on stage at Comic-Con.
Because I was challenged by Henry and Marcus.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And really all it was Henry looking very pained trying to eat a fish taco that was loaded up with sour cream. And
yeah.
No, it wasn't sour cream. It was a bunch of tartar sauce.
It was a bunch of tartar sauce.
Liked it.
Salsa and such. While Ben had a leisurely meal and still managed to eat 7.
That's what I'm saying.
I think I had 6, but yeah.
I wanted to see him push it. I wanted to
I
see
was
how many he
it.
Could really eat. You honestly weren't really.
You looked like
because
you were having
you were...
a nice meal.
Yes, because Henry was vomiting after having one fish taco.
The problem is I just ate it too fast.
It's a competitive eating competition.
Yeah, I just wanted to watch you eat.
What kind of weird fetish is this?
It's not. You know what? I've never been one of those, like, feeder gainer people, but I do like the idea of seeing what my friends are capable of and seeing them in their best form.
So you just said a sentence and then said a sentence that counteracts that entire first sentence.
I wasn't horny watching you eat. I wanted to see you push it. I wanted to have you amaze me.
I amazed the whole crowd. That was a very fun show at Comic-Con.
It was really fun, yes.
Totally
yes.
out of control. One would say shit show.
I also met Katie Sackhoff.
Who's that?
You know what? I was disappointed I did not meet Katie Sackhoff. She played Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica.
She's the best part of Battlestar Galactica, except for Edward James Olmos. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely lovely, and she's ethereal in person.
Okay, I would cool. imagine. I'm also a big fan of the guy that played Gaius Baltar, but yeah.
I do love Gaius.
Okay, guys.
I love me some Baltar.
We're getting into Wizard and the Bruiser territory right here. So.
No. I don't sound like I'm wheezing, and I don't have fucking precancerous nodules on my neck.
Anyway, at Comic-Con itself, I found the table of an artist that I've loved for years and years through his work in the Big Book series. This guy did a bunch of stuff in, like, you know, the Big Book of Death, Big Book of Urban Legends, Big Book of Freaks, Big Book of Weirdos, like I think they're called the Factoid books.
He did a great job, and I saw him. I got a book on the Black Dahlia murders from him last year, mm-hmm. and I saw him. Old man, very sweet.
His name is Rick Geary, and he did an illustrated work, The Saga of the Bloody Benders.
Now, ooh. I love this story. We covered this very, very tenema.
Yeah, we did a bit of a sprinkling of it, and I think it was the Frontier Serial Killers episode. It was back kind of in the days when we did, we do like four or five like different cases in one episode and just kind of sprinkle each one just a little bit.
I kind of miss doing that, but I feel like we're going to maybe do something like that very soon, it seems to be, with a coming series.
Yeah.
That's going to be it's going to be interesting. It's like a series of episodes within an umbrella series.
Yes.
Okay.
A sprinkling.
You see! You fucking see!
I understand. Yes. Very good.
The Bloody Benders, but it was really cool to read this, you know, right on the heels of the Belle Gunna series, because the Bloody Benders, what the Bloody Benders story is, that happened around the same time as Belle Gunna, and it was kind of the same concept of Belle Gunna. Hmm. They kind of had the same idea. The Bloody Benders were four people that were not quite sure. We actually aren't sure if they were family or not, but it was a husband and wife, and then a young guy and a young girl that some think are brother and sister, but others say they were common law married. But these four people.
Could be both. You never know.
Yeah, if you live with a sibling long enough, eventually you are legally married.
Yeah, could be.
But these four people came from, and we're not even sure where they came from. We think Germany. But they came from Germany to Kansas, to Osage County, or Osage, or I'm sure I'm saying it right.
I think it's Osage County.
Osage? Is it Osage?
Yeah. Sure. Let's say it. Osage County.
They went out there. They built a cabin that just like a square box, just a box, pretty much.
That's German ingenuity. And that's very exciting for the Germans.
You're talking about a New York bungalow? To have a unique bungalow experience in New York City?
There is nothing. I'm looking for apartments in New York right now, and that is exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They really have different words for small ass apartment.
It's like a coffin, but you have a bathroom in it.
Yeah.
What these people did is they set up pretty much like an inn/store/ psychic hotline on the side of the road out in the middle of Kansas, back right after Bloody Kansas, right after Kansas became a state, but before Kansas was really settled. And so what these people did is they set up this place where people would come out and see the young woman who was a part of the Bender clan. Her name was Kate. And Kate, some people say that Kate was like just somewhat average looking, but others say that Kate had a tigerish grace.
Ooh.
And then Kate was actually like, part of the reason why Kate was such an anomaly is like, one, she could tell the future, or at least she could pretend like she could tell the future.
That's sweet.
And two, she was super hot.
Cool.
In a time and place where there were no super hot women.
Also, her breasts could stretch.
No kidding.
Very strange. Kind of like Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
Kind of interesting, scary as well. But, but also, you know, if you're very specific, arousing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, personality really transcends physical beauty.
Absolutely.
And so if someone has that, like, witchy, like, vibe, you could, I mean, whatever. You know, I think that that's just, like, smoking hot.
Attitude's is the sexiest part. That's all you really have to do, especially that time period where we always kind of joke about, I think on the show, about the concept of, like, there are modern people that are just born into different eras,
mm-hmm.
where it's just, like, somebody who just gets it then it's much easier to have a hold over people, especially with, like, entrancing them sensually.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that Kate stood out even more among the other benders, because the old guy that was supposedly the father, his name was Paw, and he was noted for his hulking ape-like presence.
That's a strong man, though. That's a good old Kansas 10.
Mm. Then there was Ma.
Interesting names.
They said she just grunted all the time. Barrett didn't really speak English, just...
That's awesome. This is like the Firefly family.
Yeah, it really is, especially John Jr., who was the son. They said that some thought he was feeble-minded because every time he spoke, he giggled a little bit.
Yeah. Come on over here. Yeah.
I think that's just...
Someone ate all of my licorice. Look at them.
But the thing is about the benders, and they had a scheme going. It's like they weren't out there just to, you know, sell a little bit of corn, you know, and put their little inn out there on the prairie, or to just tell futures. They were there to murder.
Murder.
Now, it was a combined effort to murder.
All four of them together worked on, they had a scheme. What they did with their...
This is the Firefly family.
What they did with their box house, or at least what we think they did, is they had this canvas curtain that bisected this room. And then they'd bring in travelers that would kind of stop and be like, oh, I need some place to stay for the night, so I'll stay with these weird people. Oh, that girl's really hot, so I'm definitely going to stay here. Like, this is going to be great.
God, no, and no, then, never stay with Ma or Pa. Anybody no, dude. Doesn't have a first name.
And then they'd sit right in front of this big piece of canvas. And some noticed, but not all noticed, that there was a big, greasy stain on this piece of canvas right where the guest was supposed to sit.
Uh-oh.
And while Kate sat and talked to the guy and kept his attention and all that, either Pa or the son would be standing behind the canvas, and they'd just get a big fucking hammer and just whack them as hard as they could on the head. Then they'd open up this little trap door underneath the table, push the guy inside, and they think Kate jumped in and slit the guy's throat.
That's like nothing but trouble.
Now, this was not for any monetary reasons. We don't know whether or not they were just stealing from people. It seems to be that's a part of how they would keep the operation going.
Well, that's the thing, is that some of the people they did get money from, others they got nothing. So they think that some people, while some of them they did kill like for a profit, others they think they killed Just cause they fucking liked it.
So what have we learned today?
It's kind of like a sketch group, where as a
there
sketch
were 12,
group,
yeah, they, and there were 12 victims.
It's
really, and that's the number of members of Murderfist.
As there was for sketch groups, it's the same thing. It's like a bunch of individuals that all of a sudden realized that, like, when we started back in the day, when you didn't have to go to fucking comedy school to be a comedian.
You still don't.
I mean, it's heavily suggested because they control everything, because they've become the institution that you have to run through.
Trying to take your money.
Trying to take you pay for friends, as we're doing. It's like a fraternity.
They really
but,
are.
But the you show up, and it's like you didn't realize that you all have the same passions. And now you've moved to America with the same passions. You meet up all these people, and it's like Kismet. Didn't know that fate was going to bring us all together
right.
in a perfect world of murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just so happy that these Germans came to America and lived up to the German stereotypes of being cold, malicious killers. Isn't that nice of them? Thank you.
They killed so many people in America up to that point. And so, we're technically living on a history of rivers of blood.
Oh, yeah.
So every place on the entire planet where humans have lived is just soaked in blood.
Oh, that's why I say
not a clean spot on Earth.
Let's give robots a chance.
No! Oh, my God. Well,
yeah, and how the benders eventually got caught. Not necessarily got caught, or at the very least discovered. It was a lot like Bell Gunness, where they murdered this one dude and just kind of let his horse cart go and let the horse go and let the cart go. And they found the people of the nearest town found found the cart and the horse.
And that horse, his name was Mr. Ed. And he could speak. And he ratted on this family, the Benders.
And so they started questioning the Benders. And then finally, and the Benders like, yeah, he came by here. We don't know what the hell happened to him. And they also noticed that, like, oh, there's been about, like, I don't know, 10, 12 guys coming through this area that nobody's heard from again. So they had this big meeting at the schoolhouse, which two of the Bender men attended and said, like, all right, we're going to go from farm to farm to farm, and we're going to search, and we're going to see what we can find.
Very ironic.
And then by the time they got to the Bender farm, the Benders had been gone for 5 days.
So what happened?
They just left, and no one has any idea what happened to them.
Yep.
They changed their name to Drumpf. And then that name got changed to our president. Wow, that is crazy. Yeah. So they just got away with it.
They just got away with it. No one has any. And it was also like Bell Gunness for years afterwards. There would be sightings of Ma Bender and Kate Bender, where you would see like an attractive woman and an older lady traveling together. People would say, right, like, that's the Benders. That's the Benders. Get them, get them, get them.
Oh,
and
I remember. I've
over
seen
and
it
over and over again.
Because last time I saw the Benders, I think was a scene on Brazzers.
Yeah, is that right?
Just a
do you
mother
call,
and
you
a
call Brazers
step,
Brazzers?
Is this Brazzers
there's
or is it Brazzers?
There's nothing classy about you looking at porno. It's a Brazzers.
Brazzers.
It's like Prince Harry.
Oh, Brazzers.
No, I wear a cummerbund.
Is that
and
right?
And that's it. Because nothing is more professional looking than a man who looks like a big horny cigar.
But yeah,
especially watch
think,
me Brazzers.
When do you think the last decade was where you could do something like that, where you could actually go on a crime spree and just disappear? I don't even think you could do it in the 20th century.
I could say you could probably do it up until like 1940s. I would say up until
that
late? 40s.
You know what? I have a very controversial view in this room that I think it constantly happens. I think that there is anonymous murder and people go missing quite a bit in this country, especially if you look up anything about missing 411 or the idea of people murdering the less dead, the concept of people, anybody that's like a people of color or sex workers getting murdered, those people disappear all the time. People that are involved in any way, shape, or form with our government that have either worked on either side of either, you know, covert ops or like that kind of shit.
Well,
like,
that stuff,
they disappear.
Covert ops, sure.
But I think that anonymous murder happens quite a bit.
I don't know if you, because nowadays, truckers, they were considered the notorious killers of the highway, but now everything is monitored.
Mm-hmm.
They have every single turn they take.
That's what they did to the truckers.
And now they have all the cameras on them. I just don't think you can do it anymore.
I just think you just need to, if you eliminate your ego, there's so many things you can do. Kissel, listen. If you eliminate.
Do I have to give up my iPhone?
No, we all do. We have to all be like John Hawks, the actor who has a flip phone. Isn't it a breath of fresh air?
Does he do T9 texting?
Yes, he does.
Oh, honestly, that's amazing. Brilliant. That's what you have to do. Keanu has the same way. They don't even fuck with the internet because it's dog crap.
They're very smart. But if you don't care about being noticed for your crimes, which is the problem with these high-profile serial killers, these kinds of people, they want to be noticed. They're all of this is a gigantic screaming for attention, which is why they're murdering people half the time. Where if you really are a person who's totally dedicated to committing murder and getting away with it, I think it's very easy. Look at Israel Keyes.
I don't
Israel
know.
Keyes got away with it for quite a long
but
period
he got,
of time.
He got busted. You just proved your case wrong.
Because he did it to himself.
Yeah, he came out from behind the chair. When Israel Keyes was just killing and he wasn't communicating with anybody, not talking to anybody. Yeah, he was when he was in the background, no one even knew that he existed. No one even knew that a serial killer, like they weren't putting together the bodies in Oregon with the bodies over in Vermont. That was the other way. Yeah, they weren't putting those bodies together. It wasn't until he reached out in Alaska that he got killed. And
probably,
Israel Keyes cannot be the only one.
And maybe Twitchell too. Yeah, well, Alaska. Yeah,
no,
that's
many
true.
People. And then also,
I'm just saying, in like a city or in a place that has any kind of popular. Any town over 20,000, I just don't know if you could do it.
Oh,
I don't
what's his
so.
Name? The Golden State Killer almost got away with it. Same exact thing, where he just, again, he got, ended up, got,
yeah.
got.
Honestly, if he would have just died.
He would have gotten away clean of all of his crimes.
I'm very
so,
happy
yeah,
to
it
him.
Happens quite a bit. If you just have enough patience, I listen to a man in the window. I'm starting to listen to you about the Golden State Killer. And if you just, you know,
I really just thought you were
patience.
Talking about a man in your window. Just be like, you're going to want to address that.
You have a lot of ideas.
I've been listening to Rudy quite a bit.
Yeah, is he just a random vagrant?
My my dream neighbor says a lot of things to me about many different ways I can solve issues, quote unquote, in America, quote unquote. But, you know, the man in the window basically shows that if you have just enough patience and if you are truly a villain that does not care about people knowing about your crimes or you don't want people to know about your crimes, it's very easy to case somebody for long enough that you can know their schedule so well that you can murder them in the tiniest window and people don't even notice that they're gone for days and days.
I wonder with the Golden State Killer, do you think he ever lost the urge to kill? Is it like if your testosterone level?
But that's what they said
down?
About Michael Jackson. The reason why a lot of the molestation stopped is because his sex drive went down. They don't know whether or not he might have been taking like sex drive reduction pills. He might have been on meds, mm-hmm. sort of like chemically castrating himself. But a lot of times that's just what it is. You just stop being as horny.
Yeah, and a lot of serial killers, as they do get older, the urge does go away.
It's
more
like,
and more and more. Because like BTK, when BTK came back, like when he came, like he didn't come back to kill. Like he dormant.
Came back for puns.
Yeah. Well, he was gonna do one last one.
He was, but
quote unquote, maybe. He had big plans, but
his retirement murder, as he called it.
Ugh, God, what a freaking douchebag.
But he wanted to do it like The Cell. Because that person was supposed to be like, he wanted to nail somebody onto a cross and like vivisection them, all of this bullshit that he didn't do any of it.
Jeez. Yeah. It reminds me of that movie Behind the Mask, the Leslie Vernon story, which I actually really love.
I really love that
it's
movie.
It's meta
too.
And like super nerdy and horror fun, but I love it.
But BTK, like he was, you know what stopped him from doing that? A road crew. Is that he was gonna do that. He had this whole big plan. I mean, if you have that uncontrollable urge, like the road crew, it's like, okay, maybe I'll go tomorrow. But then the road crew came on the day that he was gonna do his big, gigantic retirement murder, and he just decided, nah.
Yeah, what do you do when Goose from the Blues Brothers band shows up? And all of a sudden he's got his trumpet. Is that what a road crew is?
Absolutely.
You got a guy with a rhythm guitar?
Yeah, was Ducky. There a dude named Ducky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
He died. He's dead.
Oh, that's too bad.
Interesting.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to our Old Navy Relaxed Fit episode.
Not sponsored by. I wish it was.
So, of course.
Oh, and if you want to learn more about the Bloody Benders, you can order The Saga of the Bloody Benders by Rick Geary on the internet. Please support him. He is a very, very nice man. His stuff is all factually accurate. He's got some really cool stuff on Billy the Kid as well. I also bought a book of his called about the Lincoln County War, which is very fun. But yeah, all of Rick Geary's stuff, he's a very nice man, and his stuff is meticulously researched and beautifully drawn. And
yes.
So they're beautifully drawn comic books.
Very entertaining, because I also got an edition of his on Victorian murders.
Yeah, I think he's got two or three different anthologies of Victorian murders. But yeah, if you like true crime, you like comic books, check out Rick Geary. He's great. RickGeary.
There it is. Yeah, and we can't wait to see everyone on the road here. We will see you in Minneapolis, Milwaukee, and Des Moines. And then we have a billboard up on the way to heaven, a.k.a.
Atlantic City. They know we're coming.
They know we're coming. So
you got to buy those tickets, though.
Yeah,
please,
you got to buy
Lord,
those tickets.
We need some fans in there to counteract the smoker's cough. It's literally just going to be a family of like five who lost all their money. Let's go watch a comedy show.
This is a kind of California liberal comedy we're supposed to be watching.
Who wants to talk about cryptids? Is this about your grandmother?
Quit roasting me, sir.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, August 8th, 9th, and 10th at St. Paul, Des Moines, and Milwaukee. Of course, Atlantic City is on August 16th. Please come out to that show. August 17th, we got Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Yep. And August 18th is Port Chester, New York. Remember, like I said last week, Port Chester is right north of New York City. So
yes,
it's real easy. I know it's a bit. I don't know if it's just so terrible that people are afraid of it. I've never been to Port Chester.
I'm excited for it.
My grandparents lived in Rye.
Oh, so classy.
So classy.
Also, August 11th in Milwaukee, I have a little tack-on show, Hail Yourself America. Get those tickets because those are going to be selling very fast.
And again, this is one of those shows where if you see Kissel after the show, if you buy a ticket and you show him the stub, he will give you a little kiss. Either
I will not.
He'll do it on the ear, no lips. He doesn't do kiss on the lips because it makes him fall in love.
Uh-huh. But I will say we can go out and drink some beers in the beautiful city of Milwaukee.
And it might lead to little earlobe
kisses.
There will
be no kisses. It will just be beers. But yes, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. And you know what, folks? Never forget. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Yeah, hail Gein.
Let's do a Magoostalations.
Sure. Fucking whatever.
Of course.
Puffin snores like a man on a bus stop.
I know.
He's so cute.
He is cute.
They canceled Woodstock 50.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I don't care.
Why are you, it sounds like you do.
I know, hippies, we'll talk about it.
You wanted to go.
If you want, no, if you wanted to, coming up on the music podcast, going to have a lot of choice words to say about the hippies.
Whoa.
I'm excited.
So, yes, it's good. Yeah, we're recording. We're doing some stuff soon. But yeah, gonna have a lot of words to say.
Leave David Crosby alone because he's my favorite grumpy hippie on Twitter. He makes me laugh because he's so mad,
and he's got the best mustache in the world.
He really does.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.